Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
Father, I want to thank you because we know that tonight, yet again, lives will be transformed. And nobody here will remain the same. Not for any reason. Father, we intercede concerning Nigeria. And everyone under the sound of my voice, those connected to you. And as a point of contact to every citizen of this country, home and abroad, there will be no bloodshed. Daddy, please intervene. Let all be well. In the name of Jesus. We give you praise, dear Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now greet someone to your right and left and say, good evening, welcome to church. Amen. Please be seated. I'm so excited because we are starting the episode 2, you see, of Reversing the Mistakes of Joseph. Who is excited with me? Amen. Are you excited? Okay. So I'm going to show you. Start another episode. You know, the same way you watch season themes and you have episode 1, episode 2. So this is episode 2 of Reversing the Mistakes of Joseph. And by the time I start teaching, you will understand the reason why we could not have merged the things I'll be showing you now with the things we have done in the first episode. Because it's going to be a different meal entirely. Amen. Now, quickly, let's go to the book of Exodus chapter number 1, please. Exodus chapter number 1. And for the sake of contextual background and understanding, I'm going to start the reading from verse 1. All right, and we're going to have about 10 verses to read. And please pay attention as we study. Now, these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin; Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. Now verse 6 says something that we are going to be investigating, which we did not investigate in the first teaching. Said, and Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said to his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. And I like us to, we're going to be investigating the meaning of the word might that is used there. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when therefore let out a war, they join also unto our enemies to fight against us. And so get them up out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Phittim and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. All right? This is a very, very interesting story. And for the sake of those who missed the first episode, I'm going to be giving a few background to this story. Now, we know who Joseph was. Joseph is the young son of Jacob the grandson of Abraham, meaning that Joseph was the third from Abraham. So we have Abraham, Isaac, all right, Jacob, all right, then we now have Joseph and the 12 of his brothers. So it was one of the youngest amongst them. Joseph got to Egypt as a slave, sold by his brothers out of envy and hatred for the size of his dreams. But you know what the brothers didn't realize was that their survival was also encapsulated in the size of that dream. Sometimes you hate people because they are doing far better. But you forget that God has raised them also for your own rising. And that's why envy is myopic. Envy is one-sided. Envy is a sign that the fellow who is envious is not thinking deep. Because what you're envious about can be for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Can be for you. And then you just say, why is this fellow like this? But God can use that same thing to raise you. So they hated him. And they sold Joseph to Egypt. Now I'm giving a background again. Jacob rose through the ranks in Egypt as he gave solutions. Or he rose by solving problems at every level. He rose from Potiphar's house where he was redeployed to prison, solved problems of insecurity in the prison. He was made the head of the prisoners, solved the problems of wrong dreams or uninterpreted dreams in the prison. Then he was brought out because of his track record. Then he also solved the problem of the dream of Pharaoh that had no interpretation. Then he rose to the highest office after Pharaoh in Egypt. More like we can say that that is the highest office anyone who is not in the bloodline of the king could get to. He helped Egypt become the most prominent nation on earth, which placed them in a strategic point economically and also in terms of military might. He gave Egypt their negotiating power through sustainable economic growth in the midst of chaos. Now, you cannot separate economy from military might. The most powerful nations on earth are powerful in terms of military because they are powerful in terms of economy. You see? And it looks as though anyone who has the economic power has the military might. You can negotiate many things, particularly if many nations are depending on you. If not the strongest, but one of the strongest nations on earth right now is America. And America, they are not producing most of the things that they use. Because being the economic power doesn't mean you're a producer. But it means you know how to harness people. Most of, in fact, 73% of the resources that powers the world is produced from Africa. But in terms of agriculture, to precious stones, to oil reserves, and to all that, they are coming from Africa. But the continent that is producing 73% of these things is poor. Because being owner does not make you mighty. You have to know how to harness. And the same thing, please listen, because I'm going to be dealing with strategic issues. Sometimes some of the most prominent organizations are not owned by one person. Do you understand what I'm saying? And sometimes some of the poorest organizations are owned by one person. Why? Because people understand that if I can get you... Now, listen to this. This is how strategic individuals think. They don't just sell shares to you because you have the money to offer. No. They are buying the future. I'm going to sell you a part of my company because you have a level of prominence and experience that can bring us into a level we have not gotten to. So I'm not just getting your money, I'm getting your prominence and wealth of experience. This is how mighty nation becomes mighty. Do you understand that? So it seems anyone who controls the economy controls other things. I remember, was it 2015? Either 2012, 2013, Nigeria was going to buy a powerful helicopter from Brazil. We're going to buy, you know that story from Brazil But the then president of America insisted that Brazil should not sell based on human rights issue. And what were the human rights issue? Our inability to accept the LGBT movement. And most countries in Africa has been denied many things because the people who owns the resources says that we will only give you if you agree to our policy. So even policies are built on advantages. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have to get this because, listen, policies don't make noise, but they affect your life. In fact, the reason you shout is because you are not powerful. When the issue of Naira that is affecting all Nigerians, we can't find cash, we can only transfer, and the bank apps are jamming. When the policy was going to be made, it was without noise. Somebody just came on mic and said, the people of Nigerians, and so on and so forth, and that's it. Till God knows it, you're going to be under the grip of that instruction or that policy. The most powerful people are not noisemakers. They only have things to their advantage. From today, you will not be a noisemaker. Okay? So Egypt became the world power because of Joseph. And there's a lot to see here. Joseph placed Egypt on world map. But Egypt played Joseph. While Joseph was helping Egypt, Egypt was playing Joseph. Because the system of Egypt is smart. But the system of Egypt encourages the system of Joseph to be neutral. While the system of Egypt is never neutral. What's wrong with you Christians? Why do you have issues? Why don't you look at policies and not religion? But Egypt looks at religion. And Egypt will vote based on religion. But Christians, why do you have to think about religion? Hey. Egypt demands your neutrality. It is the way to wipe you out of history. I'm going there. Egypt always demands neutrality. They are doing things Joseph should pay attention to, but tell Joseph it doesn't matter. Because, listen, the system of Egypt is wired in such a way that, look up, because you need to understand this. You will pick Egypt from where you stand. Okay? The system of Egypt will drain your nation of its best brains, but does not intend for them to have a stake in their nation. Because what Egypt took from Israel is their best. And they used him and climbed. But sometimes I wonder, did Joseph forget that the famine was just for 40 years, not forever? It was for 7 years, not forever. Because somehow you forgot also. Joseph did not have forever to help Egypt. So let's go back and investigate. He only had 7 years. 7 years of plenty. Nobody needed him then. But 7 years of famine will also come. All his relevance was going to be determined in 7 years. So if Joseph does not know how to extend the relevance beyond 7 years, even in his lifetime, he can be forgotten. So could it be that the beginning of decline of Joseph's lifestyle, of Joseph's memory, began in his lifetime? Because Joseph began to help them at age 30. First 7 years of plenty, 37. Second 7 years of plenty, 37 plus 7 is what? 44. So he retired at 44. That's a serious one. So Egypt was smart. They knew we only need you for 14 years. Because that was the peak of the most important act we heard about Joseph. And meanwhile, Joseph still lived longer. But exploits stopped just when they drained him of what they needed the most. And at that point, they were able to climb the ladder and became the most powerful nation and all that. And most times, systems are like juicers. That when you put an orange in a juicer, it drains it and gives you the shaft. And it seems to me like Joseph was juiced. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me give you an instance. There used to be a time in Nigeria that the most powerful, should I use the word political or leadership institution, was the monarchical institution. And we moved to another season that we came with something called democracy. And we had some coup, and then democracy, some coup, then democracy. And then till what we have is a system where the royal fathers now have the title, but they don't have the power. In fact, it was so bad, I saw a video in a state where the governor was telling one of the traditional rulers that, look at the way you dress, like Usman Danfodio, say you are always seeking for power. You are... So a system can withdraw power and leave you with title and entitlement. It will fatten you for life, but you have no importance. So maybe what happened to Joseph was that as long as he was feeding them, they were following. But when abundance came back, no more use. And the same Joseph could be forgotten. So I started asking myself, could it be that the beginning of his decline began in his lifetime? If there was more, the Bible would have recorded. How did a man get to his peak at 44? And that's it. I have a couple of more things I would like to say. I wish I could, if I was standing with Joseph right now, I would ask him, what was your plan? Beyond helping them get over a tough time. Because if you are only useful when things are tough, that's not a sign of excellence yet. You must find a way to be relevant even when things are good also. You want to build a kind of relevance that is for all season. Because if you are just for tough seasons, you might be an opportunist. Okay, maybe I've gone too far. Okay? What I'm saying, is it making sense to you at all? Are you picking any lesson from this? Are you learning anything from this? And... So, Joseph was busy helping Egypt preserve. In fact, the Pharaoh that interviewed Joseph when he came from the prison must have either been a Pharaoh that was not smart or a Pharaoh that was just merciful. Because in Joseph's first conversation, he sold himself away. He gave them all the strategies right there. They could as well say, go back to the prison. Sometimes when you are coming from tough times and you are introduced to something bigger, your negotiations are small because you are used to small things. Joseph, so I was reading, I said, Joseph, if you are going to see, go to powerful guys who are people who repair things. All right. So if you take sometimes your system to someone to repair, because the system is damaged. If they touch it within 5 minutes and give you back, and they say it's 100,000, you don't want to pay. Because you say, you've just done something so little. But what most of them have learned is to say, drop it. Then come back after a week. Then the length of time gives you an impression that it takes a lot to repair it. Then you pay. But Joseph said everything right there. See, this is what happens when you have left prison and prison has not left you. Because the system of prison has a way of getting you institutionalized. It gives you identity only in smallness. So it even took the benevolence of that Pharaoh to say, well, who is that? I mean, the wise guys were hearing him. What did he say? Let them save certain percent. He even said it. Then after that years of plenty, then they begin to even sell everything. They could as well say, take him back, and you continue from there. But I'm sure Pharaoh must have held a meeting with some of his powerful guys and say, that guy that I've just put this, don't worry, there's a way we'll deal with him. All his usefulness is for 7 years. Yorubas have an adage. They will say an hunter that used cap to kill an elephant only has value for one day. And I began to ask, Joseph, this is not the way to negotiate. This is not the way to talk. Joseph, you don't give out all your arsenal in one day. You want to bring them out bit by bit and make sure that the system needs you. Do you get what I'm saying? Make sure that there's always a reason for the system to need you. You see? And then bring it out bit by bit. But you see, so this is, let's get this so-and-so person, and then, so once we can save so-and-so percentage, then let's get storehouses, and then let's and just set everything. But for the sake of the covenant of God with Abraham, they had to install him in the place of power because a prophecy had gone ahead that Israel will be enslaved for 400 years. And after 400 years, God will spoil the nation that has held them as slaves, and then he will bring them out. But that prophecy in itself was not nice. And it will take... See, when prophecies, either good or bad, goes ahead of a man, they are not going to be fulfilled automatically. Is that okay? The boat requires your cooperation. You see, nobody can prophesy that your life will be bitter if you fail to do anything to agree with it. Your life can't be bitter. Okay? I felt, and now I'm talking as a man, and we are reasoning, okay? This Bible study. That if Joseph had understood like Daniel did, somehow pictured. Because it is a level to interpret dreams. It's another level to understand prophecies. That our people will be here and a lot can happen that I will not be in control of. And can say, don't come. I'm going to organize a channel for there to be a supply to you where you are. And Israel, probably. But I've also ranked. But as I think about that, I saw that there might not have been a need for a Moses. And we will not have the law. And we might not have Christ coming to fulfill the law. So, listen. The implication of this is, everything Moses came to become was what Joseph failed to become. So, I'm going to explain that as I go on. Have I said something too deep for you there? Huh? Let me reverse it a bit and help you understand. This is what God does. I'm not going to read the story in Ezekiel 37, the valley of dry bones. The bones were very many in the open field, in the valley. Of course, they were dry bones, means that death has happened. They were scattered. There was no life in them. And then God took his servant, Ezekiel, and God caused him to walk in the midst of it. The word walk in the midst of it is that to see the real level of destruction that has happened, so that if he would speak in the energy of himself as a man in his own boastfulness, it would have died in the process of God causing him to walk in the midst of it. So when God said, can this bone live? You now have to be able to speak only by the energy of God. Because sometimes people have not walked in the midst of it and they are saying, yes, 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 yes. You see, faith is not what you have when you don't know the depth of the problem. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are people that say, someone lying down there, can the fellow be? Say, yes, yes, why not? I have the healing anointing. And after the fellow say, actually, what this fellow have is HIV AIDS. Hey, AIDS. But faith understands the problem and still sees the power of God as much more. Do you understand what I'm saying? Real men of faith don't run from the knowledge of the problem. They just know something that is higher. But if you look at the case in the Valley of Dry Bones, everything God called for, the breath, the wind, sinews, and all those things that God called for, were the things that left, that caused the condition. Hello. What I'm trying to tell you is that whenever God restores, what he's restoring is what the enemy stole. Is that simple enough? If what was stolen is gold, what God restores is gold, not diamond. If what is missing in the equation that gave the devil a space is this, what God brings back is what should have been there. So, what we are going to be doing later tonight is that we'll place Moses side by side with Joseph. Because they actually lived their youthful days in the same place. And we're going to see what could Moses be that Joseph was not. And why was Moses relevant to a certain extent and Joseph was powerful, but somehow he faded out. And sometimes people, and that I'm always begging, the noise, oh, revival, this. There are people that are only as useful because of that noise. Oh, Nigeria is this. We need new Nigeria. There are people who are only useful when the nation is bad. Now we want to raise people that when the Daniels are saying, get out! This is time for our freedom. Those who are rebuilders of walls and those who will still be useful both in the old Nigeria and in the new Nigeria. This is the equation. Joseph was relevant for the old. Moses was relevant for the transition. Joshua was relevant for the new. Do you understand what I'm saying? You will be relevant. Please be seated. But see, can I show you a secret? There's something you left while reading Exodus chapter number 1, verse 6. And as I was reading that, the Holy Ghost said to me, stop. And I looked at it. Exodus 1, 6. If you are there, say amen. Now look at it. Exodus 1, 6 said, and Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. It seems simple. Right? Can we read that together? 1, 2, 3, go. Can we read it again? If we're going to paraphrase that in another word, it means they all experienced the same death. I'm not talking about the manner. I'm talking about the fact that I'm not talking about the quality. I don't know if death has quality. But I'm talking about the fact that they all died. The known and the unknown died. All that generation. They died. If they said all that generation died, but I would understand. Because sometimes being immortalized is not about having breath. It means Joseph died with everything. His memory and everything died. That was what didn't happen to Moses. Moses died. But, let me show you how that Moses died, but he didn't die. Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua 1. Now, I don't know if you have seen this scripture before, but there's a code here. Now look at it. Joshua was speaking to the people of Israel. Now let's start from verse 10. Joshua 1 from verse 10. Please pay attention and follow me keenly. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals, for within 3 days he shall pass over this Jordan to go in and to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half of the tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God has given you rest, and had given you this land. Verse 14. Your wives, your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave to you on this side. All right, on this side, Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren, armed, and all the mighty men of valor, and help them. Verse 15. Until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave to you. Now you keep seeing that as Joshua was talking, kept mentioning what Moses said, what Moses said, what Moses said. Moses had died, but he was living in Joshua. But that's not where I'm going to. Verse 16 now. And they all answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. Whithersoever thou sendest us, we'll go. According as we hearken to Moses in all things, so we'll hearken unto you. Only thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. So they're saying that everything you are telling us to do, we'll do. But this is the condition. What began with Moses should not die with Moses. God must be with you as he was with Moses. But what they did not realize was that before Moses died, he had laid hands on Joshua. And he had commanded him to carry the same thing. Many of the people whose impact were transgenerational did not die. Do you understand that? Jesus came. They nailed him to the cross. He died on the third day. He rose. But he left the world with 12, carrying his spirit. Do you understand that? There were a couple of people that also died in scripture. For instance, Samson died. He died without leaving anyone behind that will continue the deliverance of Israel. How do I help you? Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't seem to be getting it. When Elijah was caught up in a whirlwind, his spirit rests on Elisha. They were not left without comfort. When Jesus died, he left the 12 and the 120 with the Holy Ghost. The world was not without comfort. When Moses died, he left them with Joshua to continue from there. When Joseph died, he left them with no one. No one. No leader. In fact, one of the things that died with Joseph was leadership. Imagine leaving a whole clan and died and did not pass the baton to anyone. They could come and cheat them. And that was why the first thing God did was to restore a leader. Because bondage begins from when you are free. Do you understand what I'm saying? Self-freedom to do anything you like is what wraps you in bondage. Those who are truly free have leaders. So when Moses came, he saw something unbelievable. He saw two Jews fighting themselves. Jews, you are killing yourselves. He separated them. He killed the Egyptian. He came back tomorrow. He said, you guys should not fight yourself. No, he saw an Egyptian afflicting one. He killed the Egyptian. They buried him. The following day, he saw them, brethren, fighting themselves. No leader. He said, stop it. You can't be doing this. They were not used to leadership. They were not used to leadership. They said, so you have come to kill us like you killed the other guy. He fled. And for 40 years, their deliverance waited. Because someone who was not used to a leader spoke. And what he said in the open field affected all the clans. Do you understand that? Why? Not used to leadership. And many things causes that. It happened to South Africa. When they suffered black discrimination, apartheid, and all those things. And you can't go to South Africa and tell them, do this, and they say, no, nobody can command us because this, and that's why you see crime ravage the land. Sometimes people don't have total recovery. And then they overcompensate. And then they are in bondage. See, there should have been continuity of someone saying, according to the word which Joseph told us, according to the word of the Lord from Joseph, according to what, the only thing we later heard that Joseph said was that, don't bury me here. No leadership, no foresight. But while Joseph was neutral, Egypt was planning. While Joseph had been neutralized, you know, they say when a soap stays long, when a leaf stays long on the soap, it becomes a soap. When Joseph moved and became an Egyptian, Egypt never became Israel. Egypt was Egypt. If you move to America and you get green card, you are still a Nigerian American. America will not see, because you are not white. America, the day you will know you are not American is when you do something bad. But when you do something good, it's an American. I watched the last World Cup before now that France won. And all the guys, about 80% of them were blacks. And different countries, Cameroon and all that, were claiming their people, Ghana and all that, say these are people. And France replied and said they are not yours. Our money maintained them. If they were in your country, your corruption would have destroyed them and they would not rise and become what they are. But the day one of them mistakenly kicked his cat, they revolted and said, the African baboon. Egypt never truly absorbs you, but it needs you. And as far as you keep giving, Egypt will keep taking. But Egypt has no plan for your future. And I perceive that one of the things that is going to happen in this season is that as the walls of Nigeria will be rebuilt, God is going to be sending back our Josephs who have fed other countries with their wisdom, their intellect. They will come back from Canada. They will come back from America, because it's time to build Nigeria by Nigerians. They will come back. Because the walls of this city will not lie in ruins. They will come back. They will come back. This thing, it doesn't mean if you're in another country, you are doing a bad thing. But it means that there's going to be a clarion call. Because all the things you are looking for in those places can grow here. If not, the same thing will still happen. When you are done feeding Egypt, Egypt will throw you out. Is somebody following what I'm teaching here? Is this simple enough? I perceive strongly that bread is coming back to our land. Amen? Is there somebody who is believing that with me? I say I perceive strongly that bread is coming back to our land. And then wine is coming back. And wheat is coming back. And barley are coming back. And now people will eat in plenty and be satisfied. In the name of Jesus. I perceive strongly that the Josephs we have sent forth and have gone to other places will come back home. Amen. Except for those who are there for revival. Amen? Amen. But there are those who are there for economic reasons. God will say, come back and invest in your land. Because the land is ready. I said the land is ready. I said the land is ready. Let's check more a few things. I saw it. Saint Joseph died. It shouldn't. That should not be the issue. Real leaders never leave people without comfort. Leaves them with comfort. And my fear sometimes, are you following me? My fear sometimes is that, and this fear is for powerful organizations. I respect you if you have a powerful leader. But I respect you for life if you have people who are as good as the leader. Sometimes the mistake we have made in Africa is that we feel gap between the leader and the people makes the leader important. And it's a very costly mistake. So sometimes you see organizations that just one man is doing powerful things, his voice is heard all over the world, nobody's motivated, nobody's pushed to become, nobody can fill into his shoes. And when that man leaves the scene, the organization dies. One of the ways to build a terminated or terminal organization is to be the only one who knows everything. The only one who is doing everything. The only one who makes the decision. The one who is the smartest. Real leaders don't maintain followers. They make leaders. And as long as you don't have leaders who know what you know, who can do what you can do, the organization will die when you die. Sometimes like that in families. There's powerful ministries, but there's just one superhero. And it doesn't work that way. You must start thinking about your legacy. You must start thinking about continuity of God's plan through you. You must start thinking about transference. And anyone who is mindful about this equips leaders, boldens them, empowers them, releases them. That was what Jesus did. By the time they were killing Jesus, it was too late. He had empowered other guys. It was too late. Matthew 10, he sent them 2 by 2 into every city. Luke 10, he sent them 2 by 2. He said, the harvest is indeed much, but laborers are few. By the time it was Acts 2, they were 120. John 6, they were over 512. Real leaders first look for those they can equip. Do you get what I'm saying? I wish Samson was teaching anyone how to walk with God, how to do this and all that. But he was not teaching anyone. Even Eli was far better leader than Samson. Because Eli could leave a Samuel behind. Samson, none. I've said this again before. I did not explain it. I will say it again. I will not explain it. It's a powerful capsule. So you can start thinking about it in your mind. It is easier to be a good son than to be a good father. It's too easy to be a good son. It's fatherhood that is work. Okay? Is somebody really following what I'm teaching? Are you sure you're getting something? Now, how did a king rise in Egypt that did not know Joseph? Because Joseph died. When he died with legacy, he died with many things. Joseph was not immortalized. He was not alive in anyone. They only ate his food. There was no one you could look at and say, Joseph is gone, but he's still here. He died. Even Abraham that died 3 generations before then, she called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, let's investigate. How did Egypt, or let's say, how Egypt outsmarted Israel? Am I correct with that word, outsmarted? Or how Egypt played Israel? I think it's something we have to check. Because if you read it, and you are just so naive, you are going to be played. Because the system of Egypt is still playing Israel, still playing the church. And I've said to you the other time that one of the things Egypt demands from you is neutrality. Egypt always, listen. Egypt blackmails you that when you are strategic, you are biased. So Egypt blackmails you by imposing it on you that you should be neutral. And that's what happens. Sometimes when Nigerians travel out of the country, Nigerians can't greet Nigerians on the road because 2 black people don't like each other. But they are saying, aye, aye, to the white guys. Because Israel likes white, they like Egypt. But they hate themselves. Don't forget they were enemies when they came. And the same guys who prayed and fasted, oh God, open the door of visa. When I say what they do in Nigeria is too much religion. Because now we are the woke guys. And, you know, over here, it's not like that. Things are cool. And they say the reason for the revival in Nigeria is because we are crying to God for what government provides over there. And partly so, it is true. And that's why we must raise believers who, in the midst of this chaos, knows prosperity and are still on fire. So by the time the new Nigeria comes, whoever doesn't die with it. Egypt tells you, be neutral. What's up? Are you the one that kills Jesus? Relax now. We are the same thing. You are silly. After all, you have the title. But Egypt is up with a game. And the game is intentional and deliberate. So Joseph becomes neutral. And whilst Joseph is being neutral and being the good guy, guess what? Egypt is dealing with the history books. Dealing with the history books. Deleting his name from history. Making, and this is one area, this is where I'm going to stop tonight because it's a very deep conversation. Making sure that just when he is done, still project other guys who didn't do quarter of this as better in history. In fact, his name should not even be mentioned. Joseph was busy with operations. Egypt was busy with strategic activities. Joseph was busy with operations. Egypt was busy with system. What was he doing? Serving food, distributing food. Who was making the policies that determines who gets it? Egypt. And this is one of the things that is happening so bad now. We are busy with operations. Believers are busy from hand to mouth. Operations. This. But Egypt is busy with policies, systems, the things that you cannot see but affect what you can see. And one of the things poverty tries to insist is to keep you in operations. You're not getting it. Poverty tries to keep you where? Operations. Let me give you an instance. In fact, the church would have died early death in the early days, except that Peter said we'll have to leave operations. Because the operations then was that they were serving food, distributing, serving food. Real leaders are not busy with operations. They are busy with systems. So Peter said, let's leave the operations and then let's stay where they will not see it. But that's what is keeping everything going. But Joseph never left the tables. Can I tell you this? If you are going to break into wealth, you can't sit with operations. At certain points, you cannot be so concerned about being the producer like the one who gets it into where real wealth is. Sometimes you overrate working hard. And that's what we do in Africa. We are very hard workers. We carry the diggers and carry the hammers, and we are still the poorest guys. Some of the most hardworking guys are the ones who are broke the most. There are things I can't do. I can't climb ladders to hit some things and dig wells. And so the issue with poverty is not like you lack strength. That's not the issue with poverty. The issue with poverty is that you have made your game, but you don't know how to roast it. The Bible says that a lazy man makes his game. That is, he gets his animal in the bush. But he doesn't know how to roast it. One of the things that is associated with poverty is that a poor man can never get anything to finished product. How do I help you now? When you see, in those days, how do hunters hunt? They kill, then so it doesn't spoil, they eat it there. Then they quickly roast some parts. And then, you know, in the bush, then they take it home so that it doesn't get spoiled. Then they eat the head last, you see. But that's not all you can get. If, all right, they understand. For instance, let's look at things like food oil. Nigeria now, we get good oil, but we don't know how to refine. That's our picture. You all, for those of you who did chemistry, elementary chemistry, you did separation techniques, fractional distillation, right? You did that. Huh? And they told you about a fractional distillating column. You've never seen it in your life, but you read it. You see, that's what happens when you are in a system that is broken. You only read, you don't see it. Many of you did microbiology, you didn't see microscope until your final year. How can you ever do what will change the world? Because the programming for you is not to change the world. The program is just to survive and let them change the world and change you too.
That's what your curriculum were made up of. You were not taught in a way you could influence systems. That was not the intention. And that's why they introduced Cain. They don't use it there for their children. So you can demoralize yours. Okay. It's systems. It controls operations. Real powerful people are not jumping up and down. They do brain work. And until you have, see, the hustle of being on the street, where they are, they are, with their street, or with their, until you have stopped that, you will never break into, you will never know what wealth is. People who command wealth does this from a control room. And they organize this and organize that. In fact, wealth comes when you know how to organize resources and men. That's when wealth comes. You know how to organize it and then say, yeah, you don't have to do everything. I don't know how to help you now. And my heart is very heavy because as I kept studying this, I kept seeing us. I kept seeing our nation. I kept seeing us as a people. We have been given curriculums that cannot produce world changers. Do you understand what I'm saying? And this calls for sober reflection. You see, I used to say something jokingly that if I ever had to sit with policies, which I know my assignment does not, my own is to raise those that will sit with it. But if I had to ever sit with policies, I'm going to scrap out many courses from schools. I'm going to scrap out courses that does not directly translate to anything of impact directly. Is that okay? There's no point studying soil science if we are not making anything from the soil. Banks now need those who study religious studies, sociology, and all those, English and all that. And then you can be employed in banks. Okay? I'm yet to see any dictionary really made from Africa. I'm yet to see, including Oxford and all the likes. Or we might just see African professors as part of. All right? But I'm yet to really see. But sometimes I ask myself, why can't we study photography, BS in photography? Why don't we have BS in fashion designing? Say all those things, or they are not marketable. They sound too, because you have been, your culture has been taken over. And when your culture is taken over, you are giving another man's culture as the best. Then you come back and look at yours and say it's nonsense. That is what is happening to you. That's what is happening to you. All right? And it's good. I wear suits. I like it. But that is how we have come to define being corporate. Because it was sold. And when your culture is influenced and, you know, infiltrated and made to be nonsense, and something bigger, in quote, is sold to you, nothing bigger can come to you unless you have looked down on yours. So we say that you can't come and apply my organization if you are not wearing tie and suit. Who did it? The white man. Do you understand what I'm saying? Copy and paste this in every aspect. Many people who studied different things in school cannot practice what they study. I think the only thing you can study and then practice like that, maybe law, medicine, health related, and even the health thing is not all. Because I know doctors that look symptoms on Google. And they are talking to you, and they are talking to you, they are just taking their phone, and they say, they'll come out with a big name, and then that's how your life will finish. Amen? Apologies, and I want to say this, all right, knowing fully well. There are many doctors doing their house job who can't set lines. They can't set lines. What did you study? Medicine! Well, you can't set line! Say I'm a medical doctor. Because the system was not built for you to emerge and come to world standard. And that's why whenever a doctor in Nigeria does anything, that they are always surprised. And that's why you look at the prediction of COVID and all that. Everybody thought Africa would be rotting in the grave. And for a long time, we've been saying that what we have in Africa is God is God. But I pray Africa will not have to learn in a very hard way that God is for all. Syria had earthquake that, and Turkey that killed over 50,000 people.
And just yesterday, they had another earthquake again. Is God against them? Just as soon as the season for us to enter the promised land comes, manna will cease. And I can say this as an announcement. Manna will cease. If COVID comes back again, it's not going to be about... Let me just leave it, because sometimes when we are dealing with the demon of religion, it's a very complex spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know what I'm saying. You want to lead powerful institutions, leave operations, enter systems. Now, there's something here, and it's worthy of note. And I want to call our attention to a few things. Have you observed that oppressive systems always fight the knowledge of history? Dictators fight the knowledge of history. Oppressive, for instance, the story of the slave trade. It's not a story that you will see that is being told by the whites. It is told by the black survivors. How that during slave trade era, people were actually treated worse than a chicken. They will be carried from different parts of Africa and carried on ships and boats with chains in their hands. And if anyone gets sick on the road or dies, they just throw them into the sea. And they took them to their sugarcane farms in Spain, in Portugal, in Europe. You know, what many of you don't know is that they were actually made to walk naked. Naked so they would not be able to hide anything anywhere. And then they bolt in their lips and locked it so they would not be able to eat as they were walking. And then they gave them plates and they gave them some hot and then they opened them at night. And that was where the revival broke out from. Many of them, the only way they knew to console themselves was to come together and sing. And they would sing powerful songs, inspirational songs, hymns. Many things were bettered in those eras. But they were still slaves. When a policy came for slave trade to be aborted, they tried to eliminate them by sending them back to Africa. But the fathers they took had died. And the children can no longer trace their ancestral homes. And that's why till God comes, till Jesus comes, America will forever deal with the issue of the blacks. You took them from their homes. Where will they go? Nowhere. They tried to, if there was a way to have killed them, they would have erased this. Let me tell you something. Many countries are built on genocide. Was it last year that it was discovered in Canada? Are you aware that the Native Americans have been shoved aside? It's not even the guys you are seeing here. The Native Americans are the Apaches, the Red Indians. They are the natives. How can you wipe off an entire race and it will not make it to any of the books? The Native Canadians were killed. They discovered a mass grave. You know what they did? And if we're going to say it, we have to say it as it is, and we have to be fair. Actually, what they did was that they gave them Bible while they were killing them. The first guys who actually propagated the gospel did not do it from a good conscience. They did it with the intention of enslaving the world. God only used it to the advantage of the people. Just so you know, in case people say that, see, listen, you know, there was a time Christianity was worse than Islam. If it is religion, religion is bad. There was a time that the Catholics will kill you. You know, the Protestants were born from blood and water. And they wiped out those history. While Joseph was busy, they were wiping out his history. Real, real dangerous systems attack history. And that's why you will see that God, from the beginning, was so meticulous with the details of everything from Adam in Revelation. Because if you can affect that history, it's as good as it never happened. Anything that is not documented never really happened. How do you tell me about the things Paul said if there are no documents to attest to it? How do you tell me about the things that happened to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? There are no documents to attest to it. And that's why God kept giving them warning. Write these things down for memorial. Take this for memorial. Because any system that will last pays attention to documentation. I've lost you now. Gosh, I've lost you. Now I'm talking to those who understand. I've lost you. Any system that will last pays attention to document. And that's the last thing we pay attention to in Africa. People are just walking round the clock. Do you see it with document? Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me, Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you see it with record? You run an organization. This is going down. Did you investigate? What? There's a word I want to use now. What are the facts, you are the empirical truths that you have gathered that attest to the fact that this is happening because of this? But you know what we say? We say, well, it's the devil trying to attack us. And that devil is coming through ignorance. It keeps coming again and again because you will never know it. Most people don't sit with documents. People run organizations. Where are your files? Where are your details? Where are your documents? Show me your books. Let me see your records. Show me how you plan to scale across different seasons. Show me what do you have? What info have you got about your environment? None. They never break through. Because you just believe that if you have one anointing oil somewhere, and you give your tithe and your first fruit, then suddenly you will do, listen to this, 0 times 1 million is zero. Yes, the grace of prosperity on the fool will bring poverty. That's the fact. 0 times 1 million is what? Zero. The grace of prosperity on the fool will bring what? Poverty. That's what it brings. And we have to start calling these things as it is. We have to start saying as it is so we can raise a new generation of individuals who are not superstitious, but the generation of people who have given themselves to the details, the discipline of study, the discipline of dealing with fact, with reality. You will be superstitious if you are not like this. Just say many things. And the simple truth is that you will not be able to change the world. Because those you are trying to influence and affect, they are those who have knowledge. And they will know that you don't know what you're saying. See, I personally have issues with people who are not given to research. I just have issues with it. All right? My wife is here. She knows I live in research. Church history, events, science, and all. So by the time I'm talking, I'm not speaking as a novice. Do you understand what I'm saying? But most of us, those are the things we don't take serious. And then we just expect that things will change and all that. So why do you think that even now as we speak, some countries are trying to insist that male and female God created them is not true? Now the Pope is trying to say that we have to review the qualification we use for God as a male. That he who told us that he? But the Bible says that he that seated in heaven shall laugh. Why did the Bible not say shim or she? There was a time about 6-7 years ago that the NIV translation was altered. And some powerful things were removed. It took those who have studied in between the lines. If we lack that generation who are Berean, the devil will distort documents. I will be given shackles because we are not studying. Even your Bible can be altered. And if you are not given to study and just making noise, you won't see it. And there was a time they said you will hide anything from a black man, put it in books. But I know the story is changing. Now there are stories. Hey, God help me. Oh, God help me. Now I wrote something here. And this is me jumping ahead of myself to say it. But I want to say it now. I want to say it now. Now I wrote something here. That when evil men insist on their own narrative, they make heroes become villains and villains heroes. And they make heroes go down unsung and unwept. When wicked guys are the ones who are writing the stories, heroes become villains and villains becomes heroes. And the heroes will go down unsung. Nobody will ever remember the... Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you are aware? Now, the reason why I'm going to say this, because God said to me, he said, he wants to revive the spirit that was in this person I want to describe. He said, it's going to be part of what will be a demand on Nigeria for the new Nigeria. See, if you know a bit of Nigeria's history, you will know that PVC cannot bring a new Nigeria. It will take prayer of mercy. Nigeria is sitting on blood, crying for vengeance. But because these things don't, many of them didn't make it down. Are you aware that just about less than 18 years ago, an entire village was wiped out in Nigeria? An entire village. An entire village. Twice. In two different places. And they will not make it to the news. Because what doesn't make news can make history. If they don't know, how will they document? But do you know that among those who fought, because when Mahatma Gandhi saw the Atlantic Charter drawn by the Europeans, that all nations have the right to their own self-determination, and read it, and then now fought for India, that it's time for India to be free. We now had what we saw, some people who now saw that also we have the likes of Kwame Nkrumah. I know Okoti Ebo was there. Nnamdi Azikiwe was there. But there was a woman who was also there, Fumilayo Ransom-Kuti. Now, one of the things people know about her, probably the most thing people know about her, was that she was the first woman in Nigeria to drive a car. But this woman actually fought blood for the freedom of this nation. But you know why her story will never make it? In 1978, February 1978, she was thrown down from the tall building story of her house while they were looking for her son, Fela. And she died 3 months later from the injury. How do you kill a 78-year-old woman who actually fought for the freedom of what we now call Nigeria by throwing her down from her house? Are you seeing that? Since those who did are still alive, they will make sure the stories are distorted. Because the person who did it is still alive. 1978. And I was, you know, thinking about it with tears. And that's where the likes of Fela, Nicola Pokuti, Beko Lari, Beko, Dr. Beko, that's Fela's brother. That's where many of those people now took. Wole Soyinka. There are stories in this country. Wole Soyinka's mother was a friend, in fact, an in-law to Fumilayo Ransom-Kuti. It was the same spirit that flowed to those guys. Are you following what I'm saying? Because I saw some things happening. One of the guys was ranting on Twitter. Say, you cannot say this person will change Nigeria. And the people were insulting him. I said, if only Nigerians know what Nigeria has done to this family, you keep quiet. Stories that may never make it because the villains are still talking. And just when that, you know, let me, can I help you get this a bit? Why do cruel people insist on changing narratives? Let me show you a few reasons. Are you learning something? Are you sure you are learning something? Somebody say, what does this have to do with the gospel? And all that, hey, keep quiet. You got to understand. Because we are still making the same mistake. Busy with operations, left systems. Still making the same mistakes. Let me show you a few reasons why dangerous people insist on changing stories. Number one, so that the kinds of the people who existed before will not exist again. So that the kinds of the people who existed before will not exist again. Because most times, their spirit is revived when their type read their stories. Do you get what I'm saying? When you read the stories of Moses and David, those who have the same calling and grace will be revived. There are those who fought for this nation. When you read their stories, if you are called to that dimension, something will speak to you that that's your order. They wipe it out so that they can kill it. And their kind will never rise again. Number two. so that the world will not see their level of injustice, and the world will still celebrate them. The world will not see them as bad, and the world will still keep celebrating them. Number three, fear of repercussions. Fear of repercussions. Because what goes around comes around. Fear of repercussions. Now, number four, now, it's not the same thing as number two, but I'm going to explain. Fear of repetition. So let me explain. Fear of repetition. Now, look up, everybody. Do you know the reason why it will never be enough for a wicked government to just wipe out those guys on the 20th of October 2020 and kill them? They actually need to insist that it never happened. And that's what is going on. I do not know in my life that any administration can say those Instagram live we're watching that night, all those pictures and everything we're seeing, were photoshopped. And they have to insist. Because listen to this. Villains don't change story with one generation. They just don't change their narrative so that you can doubt yours. Is this simple enough? They just insist on their narratives. So you can start, a generation will rise and start saying, maybe it's not true. Maybe it never really happened. Now, I saw, there's this documentary by BBC, eyewitness documentary by BBC, when they came to document. And it will amaze you that later when European observers came to Nigeria, and I'm going to say some things about that because it's going to be Africa by Africans and Nigeria by Nigerians. As long as you keep having European observers for elections and all that, you are a liar, because they will be on the side of those that can allow them come in and loot. Why do you think the lives of Thomas Sankara was killed? Why do you think the lives of Gaddafi, since Gaddafi has been killed in Libya, after he was demonized, Libya has been in abject poverty. Zimbabwe, have they got someone better than Robert Mugabe? Don't you understand? I don't want to go into, I don't want to leave my story because this is not freedom fighting. I'm just teaching. But I know the kind of people God is saying to erase. That's why I'm teaching like this. Do you know that some of the rebel groups in different countries were actually started by nations as a way of setting the nations against themselves? Why will Europe function in Uganda with the Tutsis and use the Tutsis to oppress the Hutus? And when they were leaving, they gave power to the Hutus. Why would they do the same thing in the north, in Nigeria? Function with the Yorubas who are elite, the Igbos who are elite, and when they were leaving, they handed over power in Sokoto and told them you were the one born to rule. Because the best way to destroy a people is to set them against each other. It's powerful. And we've still not done that. You see, so I saw that time they said they were going to call some America observer because they were watching from the space or what. And they came and they said, well, it never happened after this. But it did happen. And a generation must keep that story. As long as it is kept, whenever there is injustice, that spirit will cry out again. It happened. I read an eyewitness with tears. People were hospitalized. Some, they were going to those hospitals and shooting them dead and carrying their bodies away. Many parents were crying, bring their children picture, never made it to the news. How do I explain this to you? Let me use my story to illustrate what the government does. As a child, I grew up in a very fierce environment in the hands of a stepmother. And very, very painful. Not the right way for anybody to live life. Please come. And one time, as a five-year-old boy, my head was... they struck my head with... You know this pestle they used to pound the arm? Pressed my head like this. Pestle. I passed out. I've started sharing the story. No problem. Families gathered and say, no, this woman wants to kill this boy. Say, no, she wants to kill him. She's going to go out of this house. And I sat down in my room. I was crying. And she came to me. I said, will you watch for them to do this? If they do this now, you know, whoop, you want to take care of your sister. This. And I was crying with her. So I'm going to tell them you didn't do it. I will defend you. She's crying. I went to meet her. I said, Daddy, she didn't do it. When I said she didn't do it, she was the first person to slap me. I said, this boy is a thief. Said, this boy is a devil. I could not say anything else. Say, he's a devil. He wants to scatter this home. The government says, why are they not coming out? If truly their sons died. But the same government said to them behind the scene. Nations sit on gross level of injustice. And you've got to know stories between the line and connect the dot. If not, you'll be speaking gibberish. And that's why I see those in power insist that only their kind comes in. If it will mean that APC and PDP will join force. Because there are stories that must not be revealed. Part of the things that can cause world war is if certain stories should come out. There's power in stories. Read. Can I help you if you want? World leaders understand this. And that's why they insist on telling their stories by themselves. And the church has been making this mistake for long. We don't even tell our stories by ourselves. Are you aware that while the alien revival was going on in America, things were happening in Africa that were never documented? Till today, we still don't have the concrete documentation of the Aladura movement. The movement will be as good as it never happened if scribes didn't write. And that's why one of the grace that will come is in this new Nigeria is the grace for accurate journalism. Because sometimes we don't feel it concerns the church. We don't feel what's our part. Everywhere. Elaka friend de kabinatish. See, there's no bigger picture of a king that does not know Joseph. Like a candidate rising and say it doesn't matter if he's Muslim. It means we have it enough to say you are a minority now. And for me, if for that, oh, God must do something. God, it's not like I see the person coming as Messiah. But if for that, because that narrative must not be established. It must not. It must not go out and vote. It must not. If they try it once, it will continue. Hey! Jesus, help us. Help us. When intelligent people find accurate stories, creatively written, they see themselves in it. And they rise to challenge status quo again. They rise to challenge that kind in their days. If the kind of Jezebel will come as Herodias, the kind of Elijah must come as John the Baptist. And he must be able to rise and confront it. Do you get what I'm saying? Not everyone in church will have to hold the mic. There are people that their kind is Mary Slessor. You see, how do I help you? Do you know the reason why the church is always dragged alongside the nation whenever there's a revolution or something? It's because of our inactivity. That's the truth. We try to play safe. But safe zones are not safe anymore. See, people who make it, who goes down in history to be remembered for good, are not those who play safe. If you keep playing safe, nobody will remember you. Nobody's story will ever be told for playing safe. You have to go all out, particularly when it's your area of conviction. It will not be said that in my days I was quiet when I should talk. It will not be said. It will not be said. I can go on and show you stories of people. And one of the reasons why stories are also attacked is so that their legacies can die. Because legacies are contained in stories. All right? So you want to ask yourself, what legacy, apart from the fact that these guys were not perfect, what legacy was Gaddafi carrying for Africa? Thomas Sankara. Do you know that Sankara was actually killed by his best friend? It is always Africa against Africans. It's a system such that those behind it don't ever have to hold guns. They just empower those who will. And that guy that killed Sankara, as far back as 19, what? Is he 70 something? 76 or so, or 75. The guy was just prosecuted in 2018. And it was, guess what? He was prosecuted in absentia. He was on a vacation when they were prosecuting him. He was not even around. Until date, he's not. Do you know that? What's this guy's name now? Uganda, this guy that was eating human flesh. Idi Amin. Do you know that Idi Amin died a natural death? He lived old. After he had refrigerator for people that he will eat you. We tell you that he will eat you and they will eat you, like chop you like this. And then to eat Amala. And when they were able to get him out, he was able to seek asylum and went to Saudi Arabia, then to another. And he lived and died of natural cause. Even people like Adolf Hitler, till today, the stories are not sure and they're not clear that he really died. Many of these guys got body doubled and got body doubled. And they were not sure because there are stories that they saw in so and so place. Most of those things can be a lie and all that. But you can see how the villains can go down well. And I can't count many more. What policy, what the likes of, when Krumah was around, these guys shook Africa and they were young. Many of the guys we have now are rotating. The guy who is there now, but he became the president first when he was in his 30s. Am I sure? 30s. What happened to this same country that at 50 they say you are too young for it? Meanwhile, the first set of leaders were in their 30s and 20s. Generals were in their 20s. The first generals who did the first coup, they were in their... In fact, the eldest was about 27. In this same country. Babangida became president early age. What changed? The stories were altered. And young boys were made to believe that they are too young for it. But God is stirring that same spirit. It will happen, no? I know what I'm saying. He's stirring a Joshua generation. He's stirring a Joshua generation in this same country. Young folks! That will take the nation to the promised land. He's stirring a Joshua generation. There's an anointing that is rising. That they will ask for the mountains when they are young. Not when they are in their 80s. Not when they are in their 90s. Men in their 20s and their 30s will say, give me these mountains. They will not just say the mountain of religion. No! The mountain of economy. We begin to have demands. Demands. God is reviving this same spirit in Africa, in Nigeria. Stand up revival again. Young people will not be buried destroying their lives. They will seek for the ancient paths and walk in it. I know that there was a time that men at my age ruled this nation and did powerful things. This is not a cliche. This is who we are. Oh, Jesus. Elakai teku sivile akende. Ikusti kibahai gevile. Hai leni kai be. Istuklendi kibro fiste. In Jesus' name we're praying. Do you know what will happen to you when you discover that Fumulera and some Kriti was just a woman that was 24 years old. 24. When she began the agitation for this nation. 24. Many of these guys were young. What happened to the youth of that generation that has died now? We must trace back those histories. and the same spirit. Dust, listen, dust may cover patterns, but when the wind of the spirit blows, it exposes it again. It brings it back up. When the Bible says, seek the ancient landmark, let the wind of the spirit blow again. There are ancient landmarks that must not be forgotten. It will not be in your 70s, 80s, and 90s that you'll ask for mountains. Your colleagues took it in their 20s and 30s years back. Now it's time to ask for it. It's time to ask for it. That in my generation, young folks will not be associated with frivolities alone. There will be men of impact. Men of impact. Men of impact. The stories the enemy thought they have removed, the wind of the spirit is blowing, uncovering them again. Africa is rising as a continent. Nigeria is rising as a nation. Our legacy stories and labors of heroes past will not be swept under the carpet. We will not repeat mistakes. No. Jesus. Jesus. Oh, seven de Kaibalatish. Eblen de Kedish to friend the Kaibalatish. Ebayadish se Kibelakotish. A generation is rising that will understand by books what is documented in prophecy. The things that God has once done in our land that needs must happen again. In Jesus' mighty name we're praying. Let me announce this again. You are not young. There was a generation in Nigeria that it was your age mate seated in Azorok. How come when those stories are told, they make sure that their age is made, they mute their voice when they get to their age so that they can kill the agitation and the quest of the youth. And young people will feel, see, now it's so bad that when an average young man is now touching 10 million, he feels it's too much, I'm too young. No! Joseph was 30 when he was in charge of Egypt. Jesus. David was 17 when he killed Goliath. He was 12 when he was anointed. He was 30 when he became king. Getting too old for the plan. And when you understand by books, you contend for what you should contend for. But listen to this. You will never... Sustainable change will not happen through you as long as there are no agitations in your spirit. It is that quiet, that disquietness, that agitation, that is what actually confers a man to be the man for that level. Those who have it easy in their mind, they have no restlessness. Don't say woe to them that is in Zion. Those who are just okay, complacent, they never become profitable for much. But check, I'm telling you, there's no man you see that goes down in history that you not trace agitation to, that disquietness. They may have plenty, but yet they were not satisfied. That, no, my life must be for much more. Ah! What happened? At what generation did they kill this thing? They must be revived. Because the mistake you are making is that it's just about the man in Nassau Rock. No, the quality of the youth must change. It must change. Lift your hands now. Look before I pray. Hold on before you lift your hands and pray. When Isaac had finished blessing Jacob and Esau came, Esau wept and said, do you have just one blessing? Bless me too, my father. And Isaac said, there is a blessing that is constant, even when the real blessing is gone. He said, when you become restless, when you lose your peace, listen, he said, you will break the yoke. It means a man who is restless is blessed. That's the meaning. the yoke of your brother. Where is your restlessness? See, when you become, you will break the yoke of your brother from off your shoulder. You will always trace impact to men who are restless.
I want you to ask for the blessing of restlessness. There's a blessing called the blessing of restlessness, discontentment. Father, give me. It is dangerous when a man should be uneasy and the fellow is feeling easy. The blessing of restlessness. I receive. I receive. Oh. The blessing of restlessness.
Jesus, from today, there's disquietness in my spirit. I refuse to be contented when I should cry. In Jesus' name we're praying. The Bible says, can a nation be born in a day? But for them, as long as she travels, she brings forth. Even when a woman needs to give birth, one of the blessedness of that season is restlessness. It's called contraction. The muscles begin to contract because it's time for something new to be born. When the devil kills your contraction, he's killed your betting. He's killed your betting. Nigeria as a nation is contracting. We must bet something. We must bet it, oh. Put your right hand on your head again. Father, anoint me with restlessness. Pray. Put the grace on me. The grace. I'm seeing God anoint man. Hey.
Mighty name we're praying. Sometimes you want to wonder, how come Pharaoh saw that the Israelites were more than them, mightier than them, greater than them, and yet they could enslave them? How come in Nigeria we could have youth, the largest in the population, the most skillful, the most intelligent, and yet they could be captured? Sometimes it is not strength that brings victory. But I'm seeing that the season is upon us, not just in Nigeria, but Africa. That the dust that's covered young people for ages will blow off. They will understand by books and begin to have right agitations. They will begin to have right agitations. We have seen the first phase. Listen. The first phase of liberation of Africa between 1950 and 1970. From 55, 57, 60, 63, different nations, one by one, all got their independence. We're in the season for the second phase, where Africa is about to be delivered from Africans by Africans. And it will be God equipping the youth, young people. Listen, young people, I'm telling you, in the next coming days, we'll see them fill the parliament again. We'll see young people fill Senate buildings again. In the name of Jesus. Every channel that has held the youth captives over the years, lose your grip. Across Africa, lose your grip. A new generation is rising. We give you praise, dear Lord, because it is done. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Now, I'd like you to intentionally give the Lord a big hand. Now, to the degree that you have been blessed.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, Flame. To partner with Flame, kindly make use of these account details. 2215005289 UBA.